is Cascadia Public Radio.
Taking over the world, one mind at a time. ZeroPointRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
Lounge, yeah, lounge.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see
me." The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see
Ladies and gentlemen, live from Dante's in Portland, Oregon, put your hands together for Clyde Lewis and the Ground Zero Lounge.
Well, thank you all for coming out to the Ground Zero Lounge. Let's give a big hand to ZeroPointRadio.com. Very loud for them because we want to be heard all over the world, the internet. Yeah, definitely so. And tonight, we'd like to thank you for coming out tonight. It's raining like crazy in Portland, but hey, it's normal for Portland. I swear we've been spoiled because of the weather, and now we're back to normal with the winter and the cold and the rain. And I just wanted to make mention of something, the Hadron Collider. Anybody hear what happened with it by applause? No? It's not going to go off again. Some bird dropped a piece of bread at the collider, and so now it's not going to be going and firing up next month. So let's give a big hand for technology that's about to blow the shit out of the earth. Give a big hand to that. I'd like to basically say this. If we are going to worry about a bird dropping a crumb on something that's supposed to cause the big bang under Switzerland, I suggest we bag the fucker. What do you think? Yeah? You think we should bag the whole project? I think so. I think we should bag the whole project. I think that we're messing around somewhere, and then like the scientists say, something from the future is coming to sabotage this thing, and I believe it. I believe it, because I know that it just seems to be so weird. They had a collider situation going on in Texas. That fell apart. Now this is falling apart. Let's leave well enough alone. Am I right? Yeah, okay. I hope so. Just want to remind you tonight, Ground Zero Lounge, we have two microphones, one over here and one over here. If you have something you would like to add to the conversation, or if you'd like to debate, or if you'd like to, you know, make a statement or something that maybe something I haven't thought of or something that no one in the audience has thought of, I'd like for you to bring that up too. It's always nice to hear some different viewpoints and different opinions. I don't take well to hecklers, so if you're going to yell at me from the stage, I'm not going to listen to you. If you yell at me too much, I tell you to shut your mouth. You keep yelling at me, you get thrown out. And we have to keep that policy going because there have been times when people want to threaten me. They come up there with their fist bore, or they're going to throw a bottle at me or anything like that. I can't deal with that. I personally like to have a day where I'm not going to be in pain from being assaulted because of something I said in a country where I'm supposed to have free speech. Am I right by applause? That's good. Now, last week we had a show that basically we called it Swinetology 101. This little piggy went to Wall Street. I'm kind of having fun playing with these cult names, Swinetology, and I talk about the swine flu. That's why tonight I have decided to call this show The Warman Church, an Inconvenient Cult. Oh, come on. It's the Warman Church, the Inconvenient Cult. That's what I'm talking about tonight. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because I read something that basically has got me convinced that the global warming movement is a cult. It's a religious cult. And I had been told this by a lot of people, and I discounted it because I said there's nothing that I can see that makes this a cult. But it is. It's a cult religion. And it's probably, most definitely, the religion that I talk about when I talk about the ecumenical brotherhood that's supposed to be established with the quote-unquote Antichrist running the whole show. I remember a long time ago, I said there will be an ecumenical brotherhood that will be established where we'll all agree that we need to take care of this, and every religious group and every ethnic group is going to agree that we have to fight for this cause. and everybody was wondering what it would be. I thought it would be something that would be easy to do because we'd all fall in line and say, oh, but this guy's wonderful. We'd all do it for the Antichrist. We'd all do it for the Avatar or this person that Tracy R. Twyman talked about. Well, look at global warming. Look what's happening with global warming. Look what's happening with the global warming movement, or what I call the Warman Church. And we're going to talk about that tonight. So the Warman Church, the Inconvenient Cult, a lot of great information. If you're new to the show, please stick around because you're going to learn something tonight. You're going to have fun learning about it. You're going to be able to tell all your friends at work, and they're going to tell you you're full of shit. And you're going to say, no, I'm not full of shit. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Mike, who busily videotapes these shows, has put together great packaging for the programs that we've done in the past. Anything from social schism to the American Possession, to Animal Farm, several others. They're very well produced, and they're only $10. Now, here's the deal about this. These shows are produced with the shows at the lounge, with the slides, and with extra footage. So you'll be able to see extra footage. You'll be able to see extra things, a little extra things to make these more entertaining. Not that I'm boring, but just the idea that he enhances me. I'm enhanced. So we want some enhanced shows. Here they are. They're $10. Get with Mike. Please buy them. They help a lot because, you know, the way I am, I just moved into a new place. I was forced to move into a new place, and I still don't have enough money to cover the moves. So please help me. So let's get this thing started. The year 2000, there was an arch-conservative cardinal. His name was, he was a cardinal of the Pope's name. It was Giacomo Biffi was his name. And Biffi retired as an archbishop of Bologna, and then he basically got involved quoting a book that was written by a guy by the name of Vladimir Solovyov, I think I said that correctly. He was a Russian philosopher and mystic, as predicting the Antichrist would come from an ecumenical council and seek the consensus of the Christian confessional. And what that means is he would create an ecumenical brotherhood that we would all agree on and be a part of, and then he would be the leader, and our popes and our politicians would not be. Now, what's interesting is he gave warning of an Antichrist that would appear to be a pacifist, proposed that a global threat would unite us all, as in an ecological environmental disaster. This Antichrist would then create an ecumenical brotherhood of all faiths that would work together for one cause and create a global theocracy that is far from the values of the original faith. Like Marxism, he warned that this pending global catastrophic apocalypse pronouncement is supposed to sustain civilization not through individual virtue, but through regulation and centralized planning. Their elite, whose goodness is measured not by their own moral behavior, but by the brilliance of their statistical schemes, will apparently save the earth. And through a united Judeo-Christian Marxist-Islamist alliance, they promote appeasement with the very forces seeking their own destruction. So what Biffi was saying was that something's going to come along, we're all going to say, hey, look, I may be this religion, but I still want to get behind this movement. And a lot of people worry that it's Masons, a lot of people worry that it's other social groups that say, oh, you don't know who these people are, but you're following them anyway. But let's say you look at the world right now, what big movement is being politically backed without the science? Even though people say, oh, there is science to back it up, there's a lot of science that doesn't back it up. We're getting behind it because the elite are going to profit from it, and you're not. The same thing with the Scientology that I talked about last week. Scientology dictates that disaster capitalism is going to get you because they're going to plan to make money off of your sickness, off of your destruction, off of those disasters that they want to finance after they've been taken down. So that's the whole thing was being predicted. Now, he also said that during this time there would be a call for a generic spirituality or a mick church, a cult of people from all faiths working together in common cause for the benefit of the world government of the beast or Antichrist. He claims that a system whose very foundation is well based on the destruction of man, however, it would be cleverly guised as a religious effort to save man. All of the cardinal's predictions would have been placed in a religious fanatic pile if it weren't for a recent statement made by Al Gore regarding his new programs to convert naysayers to the global warming cause. He had mentioned to Newsweek a few things, and I want to talk about that tonight. He said, Gore has a spiritual argument now on climate. In his much-anticipated sequel to An Inconvenient Truth, Gore now admits that facts alone will not persuade Americans to act on global warming, and that appealing to their spiritual side is the way to go forward now. Okay? It's not good enough that we have to use science. Now we have to delve into the Bible. Now we have to delve into scriptures. Now we have to delve into churches. We have to go to the churches now, places of faith, to convince them that global warming is happening. Gore spoke to Newsweek magazine in a pre-publication interview and related that he has been adapting his global warming message to appeal to those who believe there is a moral or religious duty to protect the planet. He has created programs that he wants to introduce and to be brought into Christian, Jewish, Muslim, and Hindu faiths. Talk about uniting the people for one cause with every religion. The ecumenical brotherhood that I've talked about is coming to pass. New polling last month showed that there was a steep decline in those who believe that global warming is man-made. They did a poll and found out that not many Americans are behind it. But as they say, God is always the last refuge of a scoundrel, and Gore's use of the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, and other scriptural writings to make his case is now shaping the global warming movement into a worldwide spiritual cult. It's official now. He made it a cult by saying, okay, we're now going to use religion as a basis for our, to get you to be convinced. And as I said, God is the last refuge of a scoundrel. If you can't get them with science, get them with their spiritual beliefs, and they'll be hooked. Which is bullshit. This is just, in my opinion, yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
The only way that'll work is if their religion happens to be their wallet.
Well, that's a good point, but, you know, people, you know, they're going to use the Bible as saying, well, it says in this scripture, I can just imagine what they're going to say. Man is here to take care of the earth, like it says about the Garden of Eden in the Gospels. It says, you know, he's here to tend the earth. That's what man was here to do. I'm sure they're going to go into like the Psalms and all these other scriptures, and I don't know much about the Quran, but I do know they're going to take and they're going to exploit this stuff. And if you are a believer in global warming, you're already convinced. But if you're a person who's straggling and they go into the churches and the churches say, yes, this is something we need to think about because doom and destruction and everything else, and we want the Eden to take place. And all this, you know, this is the thing. It doesn't mean that Gore's the Antichrist, but it most certainly is a means to develop an ecumenical order where all religions agree on a common cause and work together to form a cult where an Antichrist or charismatic avatar can flourish. It is happening. By the way, for those of you that are also concerned or interested, recently there was a lot of commotion going on at the Dome of the Rock where Israelis and Palestinians were fighting it out. Many people don't know this, but if the Dome of the Rock is destroyed, that's a signal that the second coming is happening. And that's to the religious people out there. Okay, now what I'm saying to you is this. If people are telling me, if people are in the audience tonight and they're saying, well, why is he bringing up religion? Because 75 to 79 million people out there in the United States believe in a virgin birth, they believe in Jesus Christ, a resurrection, or they believe in a second coming. Now, if they have all these things being coming at them from all directions, when you're hearing about the doom and the gloom of 2012, you're hearing the doom and the gloom of what's going to go on with this shit, and then you hear that something's going on at the Dome of the Rock, you best prepare to be waiting to meet your God, because they're going to give him a nudge. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to come, but it certainly must mean that if he doesn't come, they're going to make him come. Okay? And that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're going to create the scenario for this to happen, and they're going to perform it with all the technologies they have. Many people don't have the ability to spot an emerging cult or emerging religious cult, especially those who are part of it or have been converted to it because of a group of dynamic pressures that happen in the world. The pressures of being in part of the global warming movement are becoming hard on the average person who is skeptical of such claims. Media encourages conversion by telling us that science is behind it, and yet, with the decline in true believers, we are now being told that the next phase is to use religious beliefs as a tool to convert those to the cause. They are playing dirty. If you can't go after them with science, go after them where they live. That's just bullshit. That's dirty. In a speech at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco in 2003, writer Michael Crichton called the global warming movement one of the most powerful religions in the world of today, claiming it to be the religion of choice among urban atheists. He's dead now, too. Yes, I just heard that. He is dead now. In the speech, Crichton noticed the similarities between his movement and religions. Both share an idyllic Eden where humanity and nature exist in total harmony, But fall from grace follows, and then humanity and nature are separate and in conflict. Man pollutes and nature responds with hurricanes, droughts, and floods of biblical proportions. But as with Christianity, there is the possibility of being saved, although it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Instead, humanity must sacrifice $45 trillion in prosperity between today and 2050. The cost of cutting CO2 emissions by half in order to prevent a warming of the planet by 3.6 or 4 to 4.2 degrees. Now ask yourself, if you really want to shell out that much money for a movement where the elite benefit off your guilt, a movement that encourages a cult dynamic on a global scale. 45 trillion dollars between now and 2050 going towards an unproven science. That's coming out of your pocket. That's coming out of your pocket. It's coming out of your children's pockets. It's coming out of your grandchildren's pockets. And a lot of people don't know that this is going to happen to them, but they are. And so you're getting behind that whole global warming thing, believing that you're going to eliminate CO2 gases. Yeah, it's everyone's responsibility to take care of the planet. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, hey, don't recycle. I'm not saying to piss in your own home. I'm not saying to take a shit in your own living room. But what I am telling you to do, are behind it.
You're
BNP
lying.
Is behind it. I'm not lying.
You're lying.
No, okay, sit down.
How
you'll
much,
see the ad. I'll show you it.
How much they pay you?
They're not paying me.
ExxonMobil, Shell.
They're not paying me.
And Chevron.
They're not paying me.
Excuse
Who's
me,
paying
sir,
you to be duped,
you,
sir?
Could you just let it go so the show can go on, sir?
Nobody's paying me. I told him no one is paying me. It's not enough for these people who believe in the cult. See how it is? These are cult people. This is how cult thinking goes. You are pressured into being this way. You're thinking, just because a guy is saying that global warming, anthropogenic global warming is not real, oh, you have to be paid by someone. Go ahead.
It's been all over the news during the past
week. Yeah, of
week.
Course it has.
The CEO of ExxonMobil is working on all kinds of plans for carbon trading.
Of course.
They're big on it.
Of course. Yes, thank you. Give him a hand. You'll see this later on in the show. I will show you that your oil companies, your ExxonMobil people, are behind global warming 100%. Why? Because they know there's money in disaster capitalism, just like everybody else. In the book Take Back Your Life, Recovering from Cults and Abusive Relationships, John Jalalich, Ph.D., and Michael D. Langione, Ph.D., created a list of common cult characteristics, and it's not intended to serve as a cult scale, but it does serve as a simple scorecard for deciding when a new movement has cultish tendencies. After reading the list, I was struck by how many on the list applied to social and political fads like global warming. I could see that global warming could be considered a cult within that religion. I have decided to call the new global warming religious movement the Warmans. A takeoff on the Mormons. I'm calling it the Warmans, the Church of Global Frights and Rattlesnake Snakes. So, I'm doing this because I did one on Swinetology. Now it's about the Warmans. How many times have we had movie stars like Leonardo DiCaprio and others push for the cause of global warming? We criticize Tom Cruise and John Travolta for being zealous in their Scientology beliefs, but can we also do the same for all of the other zealous celebrity Warmans out there that want to convert you to their cult? The sad thing is we have no choice if the cult becomes politically powerful, and it has. The next time you sit and make fun of John Travolta or Tom Cruise or any other Scientologist for pushing their religion, think about people like Brad Pitt or Leonardo DiCaprio or Keanu Reeves and how zealous they are about their little Mormon cult. Because that's exactly what they are. I wonder who's paying them, sir, to speak about global warming. Jesus Christ. First on the list, in a cult, the leadership dictates, sometimes in great detail, how members should think, act, and feel. For example, members must get permission to date, change jobs, marry, or their leaders prescribe that types of clothes are supposed to be worn a certain way, where to live, whether or not to have children, how to discipline children. There are also strict health codes in some cases. You are told sometimes that you should see a doctor, or you shouldn't see a doctor. And there are other restrictions placed on you when you work, shop, all other things you do. The members of the global warming cult have already determined that they have to reduce their carbon footprint by changing their lifestyles. Since the cult has become a strong political force, they will be demanding that others reduce their carbon footprints too, which means restricting uses of certain foods, products, in order to appease their cult wishes. This removes choice and liberty for the betterment of the environment. They'll tell you, don't do this, don't do that, don't drive your car, get your hybrid, sell everything. They'll tell you what to do. That's what they are, because they're a cult. Most cults tend to control the reproduction of their membership. Some may encourage large families, viewing procreation as an easy way to add numbers to their cult's membership base, while others promote abstinence for the rank and file, limiting procreation to the elite. The latter seems to be happening with the Warman Church. Al Gore encourages people to lower their carbon footprints while he enjoys the comforts of a 20,000 square foot mansion and using a jet that eats fossil fuels. The Warmans support global sustainability, which encourages zero population growth. They also encourage abortion, birth control, and attempts at curtailing reproduction freedom. They want to implement those types of policies for something called global sustainability. Has nothing to do with global warming. Here's an article that they're paying me. ExxonMobil is paying me to show you that the CIA chief lists population as a top concern for global warming. Start killing off your children, and whatever you can do, we're going to start thinking about ways to curb and create global sustainability. ExxonMobil wants me to tell you that a cult leader is not accountable to any authorities, unlike, for example, teachers, military commanders, or ministers, priests, monks, rabbis, or mainstream religious denominations. NASA climatologist and climate advisor to Al Gore, James Hansen, has made a name preaching the imminent doom of the biosphere while claiming persecution for his global warming beliefs. However, one's left to wonder why that persecution didn't include his dismissal from his job at NASA. After all, NASA has said that all doomsayers are creating careers for themselves and that any doom theory is simply a theory. That does not apply to global warming, however. We can all die in an environmental way, but you start mentioning Planet X, you're a crackpot. You start mentioning other ways to die, you start mentioning the 2012, the Mayan calendar, the alignment, you're a crank. But hey, talk about the environment going to hell? Yeah, we better do something about it. We got 3 years to save the planet. We're all dead. What is it, NASA? Is your theory better than anybody else's theory? Yeah, you get good at crashing things on Mars, now you crash things on the moon too, and now you tell us that if we worry about 2012, we're all weirdos. Tell James Hansen he's a weirdo too. Oh yeah, by the way, that was a paid announcement. Questioning, doubt, and dissent are discouraged from even met with punishment or ridicule, as you see. Anyone who questions the theory that climate change is anthropogenic is labeled a denialist. Wikipedia notes that the terms denialism and denialist are therefore generally used pejoratively, carrying the implication that the person or group so labeled denies established scientific or historical truths by dishonest means. Many people have compared those who don't believe in global warming to the flat earth people and to Holocaust deniers. Nice. Kick the Jews once again for loose change or loose commentary. Seems to be the sport nowadays. You don't go with them, they pull out the Jews, or they pull out the blacks, or they pull out whomever, and then they make you all look like a bunch of ogres for not believing in their stupid-ass science. The group, or the cult, teaches or implies that its supposedly exalted ends justify whatever means it deems necessary. This may result in its members participating in behaviors or activities that they would have considered reprehensible or unethical before joining the group. For example, lying to your family or friends or collecting money for bogus charities. Now, have you ever noticed how whenever there's a meeting with the global warming elite, they never meet in the United States. No, they meet at some off place somewhere where no one can get to it. Like they have some secret meeting somewhere in some mountainous region that no one can get to only by helicopter. They have it in some meeting where it's all closed doors and no one can come in, not even you. You know why they do that? Because they don't want you to hear what kind of bullshit they're throwing around or what they're planning on making up. Have you ever noticed that they make decisions for our country here, there? They go to other places of the world, make decisions for our country there. They also fudge data in order to prove falsehoods. These falsehoods are mixed with truth, just like religion or any cult group. I want to show you something. What you're seeing here is you are seeing a map of the world. This map is provided by those who tell us that global warming is a reality. Now, this map is showing areas of the Earth that are the reddish colors, are the hottest areas of the Earth, showing, they're showing where all the heated areas are. Notice where all the heat is. It's over there, over Russia, and a little bit above, and in Alaska and several places. Now, I want to show you how they fudge data. This is their rendition of what's going on. This is actual satellite data here. Now take a look at that. They avoided, on that last map, they avoided Canada and southern Africa. And you notice the heat spots are the same over Russia, but not over the U.S. You see all the areas are blue. Those are the cold spots. That was March of 2008. Okay? They fudged the data to show you all the hot spots prominently. And you see the hot spots are there. They're not lying there because it's the same. It matches. But you notice they avoided northern America and they avoided the southern tip of Alaska and some of the southern tips of... And it's because it's cold there. They didn't want to show the data. That shows that most of the Earth is cooling. Not hot, but cold. Then it hasn't really done anything. Temperatures actually have stabilized. The fact is that the global temperature of 2007 was statistically the same as 2006 and every year since 2001. We haven't had, the hottest time was around 1987. The data hasn't changed. It's remained stable. Scientists are challenging the idea that stronger earthquakes and increased volcanic activity have been caused by global warming. That's bullshit. We know that global warming does not cause geomagnetic storms. They're caused by what? Magnetic situations on the planet. A guy by the name of Tom Chalky first proposed this nonsense. Chalky is a contributing writer for something called the Natural University Journal. I looked up Natural University. It doesn't exist. There's no such university. And yet they swore by this. Oh yeah, this is causing this global warming. Atlantic hurricanes have declined since 2005. Anybody hear of a really, really bad hurricane since Katrina? No, we still talk about Katrina. There have been a couple here and there, and there's one forming right now. But hurricanes are hurricanes, and they happen all the time. It's just their intensity is not the same as Katrina. The movie, An Inconvenient Truth, came out a year before Katrina. We were still kind of reeling from that film, seeing all the devastation that was going on. There has not been a tremendous amount of hurricanes since Katrina. They've all died down. They also were focusing in the news recently about tornadoes and the outbreak of tornadoes, saying, oh, this is a bad tornado outbreak. No, the worst tornado outbreak happened in 1965. The tornadoes we're having are normal. Now, you can look all this up. Exxon's not paying me to say this. This is all true. According to reports from the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that's the NOAA, they reveal that almost all of the allegedly lost ice has come back. A NOAA report shows that ice levels, which had shrunk from 5 million square miles in January 2007 to just 1.5 million square miles in October, are almost back to their original levels. It's normal, okay? Every once in a while, we see a heat spark, things go kind of weird, and then they come back. It happens. That's normal. What about the polar bears? What about the polar bears? Well, they're not dying. It's right. The Warman cult will tell you that the polar bears are dying at an alarming rate because the polar ice caps are melting. This is a myth, and there are plenty of nonpartisan scientific studies that demonstrate this. For example, the National Center for Policy Analysis. They are a nonpartisan organization, and here's the headline. Polar bears on thin ice? Not really. Let me read this to you so there's no doubt Mr. Exxon's paying me. This is a nonpartisan organization. See, and he's not in here to hear the debate because he's a member of that cult. Recently, some scientists have claimed that human-caused global warming poses a significant threat to the survival of many species. For most species at risk, they argue, warming will cause the range of suitable habitat to shift faster than either the species or their food sources can move or adapt to a new range. For other species, they say, suitable habitat will cease to exist altogether. Among the species claimed to be at high risk of extinction from human-caused global warming is the charismatic polar bear. Indeed, in February of 2005, the Center for Biological Diversity filed a petition with the United States Fish and Wildlife Service to list the polar bear as an endangered or threatened species. The petition was later joined by the National Resources Defense Council and Greenpeace. In response, the USFWS initiated a formal status review that determined that the polar bear should be protected throughout its range. A new NCPA study by Dr. David LeGates, director of the University of Delaware Center for Climatic Research and state climatologist, examines the claim that global warming threatens to cause polar bear extinction and finds little basis for fear. By and large, the study finds that the polar bear populations are in good shape. That is from the NCPA. Now, it gets even better. Is the Arctic warming? In the study, Climate Change and Its Impacts, LeGates reviewed the claims that global warming is causing an unnatural increase in Arctic temperatures, posing a threat to the thickness and extent of sea ice, and thus to the polar bears who rely upon it. In particular, he examined assertions made in 2004, Arctic Climate Impact Assessment, etc., etc. LeGates finds that their claims of an impending human-induced Arctic meltdown are not supported by the evidence. Let me repeat. LeGates finds that their claims of an impending human-induced Arctic meltdown are not supported by the evidence. This is from a nonpartisan group called the National Center for Policy Analysis. I'm not being paid by Rush Limbaugh to say this, nor am I a conservative. I am a person who wants to show you the truth, and this is your truth. You are going to have to pay $45 trillion from now until 2050 for junk science. All the countries around the world have voted down all of their global warming policies, except for the United States. It's because the United States is so converted to this cult they can't see out anywhere. The scenes of the polar bears jumping from ice pack to ice pack in the movie Inconvenient Truth were shot in the Northern Hemisphere's summer solstice, where temperatures do rise and the caps do melt. But this is normal. What is not normal is the animated polar bears who were also used in the movie showing the bears suffering. We couldn't get the real bears to suffer, so we had to create animated ones. Even Al Gore admitted that. The Global Warming Church can call me a liar or a denier. You can say that I'm getting paid by ExxonMobil. I most certainly call them exaggerators. Gore has won this debate in the media, obviously, paving the way for the new ecumenical cult, now creating a religious program to convince those who don't believe to put it into their prayers and offerings. The idea is blasphemy. Surrendering your religion to the global warming cabal is saying that God is no longer in control of the planet, but your New World Order wise men are. Think about it. And who's going to help us out? Al Gore. Who's going to help us out? Barack Obama. Who's going to help us out? All these people. Your prayers to save this planet? Your money's going to help out. Not your prayers, not your thoughts, not your work to make this planet work. It's nothing about saving the planet. That's your responsibility. You should do it anyway. It's about what they can make off you. It's about transmitting funds from one coffer to the other coffer. And that's the way it's been from the very beginning. And if you don't believe what I'm showing you this for so that you know that I'm not being partisan. I have to do it this way. I have to do it objectively. Otherwise, you guys would think I'm jumping around saying, oh, I'm a big Rush Limbaugh fan. It's not about politics. It's about survival, and it's about whether or not you're going to be able to put food on the table as you're paying your money out for your carbon assets. Go ahead.
The carbon trading schemes assign value, big value, to pollution rights. The pollution rights are given to big corporations and industries. Some of those big corporations and industries are not polluting so much, but they're still given the rights. And then they get to sell or trade those rights to other industries that want to pollute. Well, now, what about the common man, the common individual? What we're going to be hit with are restrictions, not rights. All of the rights and privileges in carbon trading will belong to the elites, and ordinary people will merely be called upon to sacrifice.
Very good. Give him a hand. That's true. It's so true. The Warman Church's canon may be described thusly. Global warming caused by carbon dioxide emissions is revealed truth. If we don't repent, mankind will be eternally damned. Doubters are monsters, mental defectives comparable to Holocaust deniers and members of the Flat Earth Society, and are paid by ExxonMobil. And it's time to purge our sins by abolishing the Industrial Revolution and turning to pig manure and solar power for energy. Once again, Swinetology. You know, it's disaster capitalism, and they're making money off your fright. You're scared. That's what they're doing. With Marxism, another doomsday cult, the apocalyptic vision was a world where the rich kept getting richer and the poor sank deeper and deeper into drudgery, near starvation and despair. The party elite was the priesthood sent to exorcise these political demons. Socialism to the rescue. Communism to the rescue. How many people have heard this? Oh, the Chinese model will be our next model for the Marxist ideal, or for the communist ideal, or Obama's the Marxist. No, it's all in the plan. We have to be a world government because we're going to have a world religion to deal with called global warming, global sustainability. That's what has to happen, and that's what's going to happen. Since then, there's been a succession of secular faiths to somehow spark newfound spirituality in every urban atheist. Every movement calling on us to repent social sin, prophesying doom, and holding out the hope of salvation if only mankind could be coercively saved from itself. The frightening part is this secular Warman cult has now infiltrated the political, science, and religious sectors. With the right money, anyone can see heat where there's no fire. Anyone will find Armageddon with the right price tag. Because they're waiting for it. How many Christians? There are a lot of Christians you go up to. I'm waiting for the second coming of Christ. Yeah, that means your planet's going to be basically turning into a big heap of rubble. And then Jesus is going to come amongst the rats and those faithful who are all bruised and dying. That's how it's going to be. Boy, I'm looking forward to that kind of life. And God loves us all, doesn't he? This is crap. Which brings us to the final way to determine if the new Warman Church is a cult. Most religious cults have this preoccupation with money. And boy, do these guys want your cash. $45 trillion. They want your cash. You can't even imagine $45 trillion, can you? See, no, you can't. You haven't seen that kind of money. But they deal with those numbers all the time. And that's what they want from you. Investors Business Daily noted in an editorial that the driving force of the global warming movement is not a cleaner planet or a world that doesn't get it too hot in the case of global warming issue, but a leftist egalitarian urge to redistribute wealth. The method of doing this is levying carbon taxes on the industrialized nations like the U.S. and redistributing the funds through the U.N. bureaucracy. Now, this is from Investors Business Daily saying this. Last October, Lord Christopher Monckton, a noted climate change skeptic and former member of Greenpeace, keep that in mind, gave a presentation at Bethel University in St. Paul, Minnesota. In his speech, he issues a dire warning to all Americans regarding the United Nations Climate Change Treaty, which is scheduled to be signed in Copenhagen next month. He claims that if Obama signs that treaty, he will literally be signing away sovereignty of the states to the New World Order, a New World Order that will transfer the wealth of our nation to other nations in order to pay what is being called climate debt. Now, I investigated this. This will not be put up for a vote because it is assumed that everyone has joined the Warman faith. They're all behind a 100%, and they're ready to purge their sins by paying off third world countries who claim that they have been suffering from our CO2 emissions since the 1800s. We're paying restitution to these other countries from our carbon emissions from the 1800s. This has nothing to do with your SUV. It has nothing to do with your car. It has nothing to do with cows farting in the pastures. It has everything to do with Americans because we're a big country. How many times has there been a disaster where we're right there helping them out? When was the last time somebody thanked us for going in and helping them out? Now, we're responsible for emissions all the way from the 1800s. I'm not going to pay for it. Yeah, I'll go in the gulag with everybody else. I don't believe in global warming, and I don't believe in the cult they're having me wanting to believe in either. It pisses me off. I read that, and I was about ready to freak. I'm freaking now. The clever part is that all the constitutional stuff out there that you think is protecting you, it's not. Why? Because if a treaty is signed, there is an area of the Constitution, it's Article 6, Paragraph 2, that says, if there is a U.S. treaty that is signed and it's agreed upon by several people, that treaty takes effect and our Constitution does not. So, if Barack Obama signs that treaty, which I hear they're not going to sign it because a lot of people have done what I just did. They freaked out when they heard that we had to pay out from the 1800s. What's going to happen is what's
hello,
that
hello,
sign?
Hello, hello.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, well, my name is John, and I've been listening to you, and I appreciate a lot of things you're saying. But,
sure.
Basically, it's just an opinion. And most people in the world, especially our world, because I believe in a whole lot of worlds. I believe in, like a million worlds.
That's great.
I don't believe in the worlds that just exist to the people that work for NASA. I believe in the world that we believe in, you know, like you and I. My mind extends far long and beyond what you think. But what you're saying is cool, and it is what it is. But what are you saying, you know? I mean, especially for you to say things about the Bible, that means you read it, you understand
it. Yes, I've read it.
You read it. You
of course
read
I've read it.
It.
Yeah.
And you understand it.
Yes.
And you appreciate what it says.
Yes.
So don't battle something that you don't understand.
What if a government steps in and tells you how you're supposed to read your Bible, and they tell you that your Bible is telling you that you need to pay them $45 trillion in restitution for CO2 gases that you've released in the atmosphere? Would you appreciate that, sir?
What government? What Bible?
This government and the Bible that you believe in, whether it be King James or whatever version you read, the Reina, whatever version, the Gideon.
I actually never told you anything that I actually believe in. I just want you to understand, you got to preach to these people what you believe in and what you think is real. Like, I could sit here and just look at you and just by your aura, I could tell you things about yourself. I could tell you how your left leg bothered you sometime, and I walked in here 10 minutes ago. But I know that about you because I have a different look on life and people.
Sure.
And I read people a lot. I've read a lot of people in my life, and I understand the pain that you have, and I understand your struggle. I expect you to resist that because that's what you do.
No.
That's okay.
No.
But I do understand. I understand a lot of things about you per se. Your feet hurt you all the time. Your left leg bothers you. You have constant headaches. And I don't even think it's the fact that you talk a lot. I think it's the fact that you think a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my head's about to explode.
Yeah, well, long as it explodes and don't blow up, you'll be just fine.
Okay.
You know what
I'll
saying?
I'll make sure that I'll wear a hat.
Well, don't make sure. Don't make sure, because you can't make anything but food and clothing. That's what we make.
Yeah, that's so
what
you're I make
gonna,
like
if you're going to make sure your head don't explode, you are definitely an extreme human being. Now, I can't make sure of anything, but I am sure that I can read you fully.
Thank you.
Actually, don't thank me.
It's not my left leg, it's my right leg. You're off by one leg.
Whatever the case. But anyway, I got one thing to say to you, man.
Yeah.
Get a life.
I got a life.
No. Get a life.
I have one.
No. I'm not talking about get a life.
I have
what
one.
You're thinking.
I have one.
Get a life. You know what I mean by that?
I have one.
I'm going to tell you what I mean by that.
I have one.
You've been through two divorces. which baffles me.
No,
because you're an
not.
Excellent person.
No, I'm not.
Well, when I call a divorce, I don't mean you just was missed. You got rid of somebody or whatever.
No.
You've been through two relationships that you absolutely had that was incredible.
No.
Which is, okay, you know what? That's where denial comes in.
No.
But it's okay, because he wouldn't respond to something that wasn't true. Because he's too much. Anyway, I love you, man. I love you, and thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All that in a bag of chips.
Okay. Well, fine. Give this guy a hand. He was funny.
Hey, you ain't got to tell them.
No, we're done.
You ain't got to tell them.
I got to get to my next
stuff. They know what to do. They know what to do.
Okay. Hey, thank you for that. All right. He was off a little bit. He was close. I had to have him on a show. But no. Where was I? Here's the piece I wanted this guy that said that I was being paid by ExxonMobil. It's cutting ties with its global warming skeptics. The oil giant also in talks to look at curb. Idiot. See, this is where people being uninformed think they know everything and they want to come and challenge the guy who studied or the guy who's trying to inform you, and they try to silence you or dismiss you with stuff that they don't know anything about. Now, I want you to learn. I want you to know. I want you to do this. Yes, my background, for those of you that don't know, I am a national talk show host, or I was. I had cancer. I got out of the cancer. I'm okay now. I'm doing this because I'm not on the air right now. I'm trying to get back on the air. But I'm doing this because it gives me an opportunity to still speak and still do the things I do. I did a show called Ground Zero. It was a very successful show for 13 years. I'm recovered from my cancer. I'm ready to go back to work. But I'm doing it here for you with these special presentations. I do have backgrounds in religion and politics and the paranormal. What I'm trying to say is that the reason why these companies are seeing the light is because it means money for them. It means money for the politicians. Just like a cult, it all goes to the leaders and they wash away all of your ecological sins and promise you paradise at minimum wage and 12% unemployment. All that for the betterment of them and the sacrifice of you and your family. In 1968, the book The Population Bomb by Dr. Paul Ehrlich confidently forecast worldwide starvation and the exhaustion of natural resources sometime between 1970 and 1985 due to overpopulation. This became a scientific doomsday story that gained momentum. When dates came and went, no one starved to death, there wasn't problems like that. We were still pumping out babies and pumping gas in our tanks. The news magazines were asking the question, is God dead? The pollution scare started with Rachel Carson's Silent Spring in 1962. We were poisoning the earth, she said. Species were becoming extinct. We would shortly choke to death on our own garbage and toxic fumes. We're still here. And now we have the Church of Global Frights and Rattle Day Snakes, the Mormon Church under the leadership of Pope Albert Gore I and his College of Cardinals, the Natural Resource Defense Council, Sierra Club, and editorial board of the New York Times. Its Office for the Propagation of Faith works overtime, churning out books, movies from the fictional The Day After Tomorrow to the fictional and Inconvenient Truth, from textbooks, concerts, congressional hearings, media pleading, inquisitions, to Bob Geldof organizing a bunch of greedy rock stars to get together and sing We Are the World of, We Are the World of Global Warming. They're bringing that back. Geldof has decided to do another We Are the World thing to get you all warmed up to the idea that you have basically handed over your life for the tax, that you're going to be taxed. All of these quasi-religions seek to take us to the same final destination, a state of rigid control, central planning, rationing, pre-industrial living, and standards and flagellations to purge us of our sins. That's exactly what these are all about. It is the responsibility of every American and citizen of the world to take care of this planet. It is wise to do your part in recycling, stop wasting vital resources, and contribute to the beauty of the place we live on. One of the greatest wasters of life and limb, fauna and flora, are wars that create toxic waste and in some cases pollute ground soil with radioactive fallout. In the whole global warming argument, I never hear the argument for the preservation of life through eliminating the war. The reason I believe is quite simple. Because in the global warming cult, mankind is taken out of the equation. Just like any weird cult, leaders will tell their flocks that perhaps
It is time to take yourself out of this life in order to give others that chance to survive. Perhaps if you've eliminated yourself from the planet, it survives without you. It's tragic, really, because no matter what you do, you're always confronted with catastrophic nightmares. If we fear that much, then maybe it's best we do pass away. If we're that afraid, maybe it's best we do get taken out, because that's what we're heading towards. There's a poem I want to share with you in closing tonight. It's a poem from The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury. It's a book, it's a poem by Sarah Teasdale that's read in There Will Come Soft Rains. And it goes like this. There will come soft rains and the smell of the ground, and the swallows circling with their shimmering sound, and frogs in the pool singing at night, and wild plum trees in tremulous white. Robins will wear their feathery fire, whistling their whims on a low fence wire. And not one will know of the war, not one will care at last when it's done. Not one would mind either bird or tree if mankind perished utterly. And spring herself, when she woke at dawn, would scarcely know that we were gone. Please give a big hand to Janine Duffy for helping me with these wonderful images tonight. I want to remind you that these shows are available. Mike has produced them on great areas for $10. Extras, you can get this show when it's ready to go. We've got past shows that are ready to go we'd like you to buy. And a lot of people have told me, Clyde, how is it that I can't explain it like you do? Well, you don't have to. You buy a video, you show it to your friends, or you make copies or whatever you need to do just so they can hear what's going on. They don't have to believe it. It's just an opinion. But let me tell you what. It's not the only opinion. That's why I always ask that people get up and speak their minds here at the Ground Zero Lounge, because we still have a place like Dante's where we have freedom of speech. I'd like for you all now to clap loudly for Frank and allowing us to be here at Dante's. Give Frank a round of applause, please. Karaoke from Hell is up next. Please stick around for that. We'll see you next week at the Ground Zero Lounge. Good night.